some quiet. That'd be great. Hello. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're going to do something a little new here. I think there's been some recommend to be able to address council and staff and actually have council and staff answer. So that's what the difference is. We've had a public comment period and public hearings towards specific things that City Hall is going to be doing. And at times like that, someone can come to the podium and speak for 3 minutes or 5 minutes about a specific issue. But the format for that, it does not allow for city council members or staff to be able to respond and answer those questions. So the what we're referring to as a town hall format is the opportunity for members of the public here to ask very short questions. And so I'm not talking about people being able to speak for 3 minutes or 5 minutes. I'm talking about a sentence or two, a question limited to no more than a minute can be asked, because this is the opportunity for you to actually hear back answers. And then members of the council might be able to give an answer or call the staff if staff have a fact that's, that it needs to be part of the answer. So in any case, we've got four people here who have already signed up here, but it's my goal here is that I'm going to moderate this discussion in a friendly way so we can have the opportunity to have a little bit of back and forth. We're going to have to find a way on this. So, maybe from the panelists here, I've got Tom Robbins. So, if you'd like to come and ask me ask a question or make a comment, or so we are meeting for the public testimony. Okay. Did Dan want? Yeah. Did you want to ask a question of council or staff?
Oh, wait. Oh,
okay. So this was not the. We got to get the hang of making this more clear here. Okay. Mark, is there Martian now?
I'll
defer to later also. Okay. So, okay. I'm just going through the list, and then I think it will come around in just a second here. Scott Beaker, are you also for later?
So, if I speak down during the public forum, it doesn't completely.
Yes. If you'd like to ask a question where you actually like a response, then now is your opportunity to get that.
I'm very capable.
Okay. Okay. Please state your name and address, and then ask a short question.
My name is Scott Beaker. I'm at 2450 H Street Road, Blaine, Washington, 9230. And my question to council is it still true that the East Annex was zoned and is zoned for manufactured home park? Is that still the case?
Okay, so That is what's being worked on right now.
I understand that. But from the beginning of this whole process,
yeah,
it was zoned. That was the area zoned to have a manufactured home park. Is that correct?
Basically, the city is divided into a lot of different zones. Some are reserved for business or homes.
Let's assume I understand planning. Sure.
And so the PR zone that includes also East Plain, about 1/3 of the geographic area of Plain. There was parts of the code that made it that expressed that a manufactured home park could be there, but there was also a piece of language that said accept manufactured homes. And there's some limitations in state law about the degree to which you can say that. And so we had some conflicting code that we're trying to remove and switch around so that it's all consistent.
Right. And most of the purpose, this is the current purpose of the process, to allow manufactured homes in the East Annex, but to eliminate the contradiction in the code.
That is one of the ways that we can rectify the problem is to just merely take out the parts that conflict, which would leave it allowing manufactured homes in the entire PR zone if no further adjustment is done.
Right, and so my understanding was, based on other meetings that I attended, that the process was to move in that direction to eliminate contradictions in the code and to arrive at good code. So that if a manufactured home park is being pursued, it's being pursued in a way that fulfills the original intent of the code and serves the public. Is that true statement?
Yes, and the way the language is looking, it has a lot of restrictions, some requirements for landscaping buffers and the clubhouse and you know those kinds of things to make it fit.
And I looked at the original code, and I work in a lot of municipalities, and it looked like good language. And I understand where your contradiction language is. And so I guess I'm leading to a key question, and that is, why protract or elongate the process when it seems like working with good staff and working with council, we can see the contradictions eliminated and a place where manufactured homes in Blaine, which most municipalities approve for good reason. And Blaine has challenges, obviously, in providing and having affordable housing and step down housing for seniors. And I think the case has been made pretty well that, you know, we need all types of housing in Blaine. And certainly we need alternatives for seniors when they can't take care of their homes any longer. So I think town halls are a great opportunity. And I really have enjoyed asking these questions. And the only thing I would, I guess, finally ask is the when people, I guess, you know, ask a question, when you purchase property and you go about trying to build it, everybody that lives in a house, somebody bought that land in good faith, hoping that if they put in the permit, that they would be able to build their house. And everybody, myself included, benefits from having confidence in the system. And Blaine had a good manufactured home code, and I don't think that people, you know, can recognize the little discrepancies. And certainly, if they violate the state constitution, and they say you can't discriminate against manufactured homes, although you can maybe deal with works differently. I guess what I'm asking is it's still the feeling of the council to provide a reasonable opportunity for this housing to occur in Blaine, or is it a tide change?
No, I believe that's the direction that it's going to go. What happens is if you don't get the code just right and somebody actually builds something, then the precedent is set and other people can come in and do whatever's been previously done if they want to say, hey, you let that guy do it. So we're just on the verge of the code going in as you're describing. It's just a matter of making sure to get it right. And when you talk about people buying property with certain expectation, over in the Semiahmoo area, there are Woodbury developments coming in. A lot of people have said, we cashed in our chips from some other state where we lived. We moved there because it was wooden and kind of a cabin theme. It looks really great. And this new development's coming in. Woodbury is going to not match the neighborhood character. So likewise, some people, they bought in East Blaine, large acreage, house in the middle of it, and they thought they were going to get a model, although it's zoned to be city, and it's the city's responsibility to take in growth and development and increase in population. But some people are getting used to that growing pain.
Would you think it's fair to say us four and no more is not a reasonable way to invest in an area? The reasonable way to invest in an area is to look at the zone. Zoning is put in there in place for a reason. It's to produce predictability, and it's so that when a developer or a person buys a piece of land, there's some sort of predictability. Now, sure, the neighbor says we've been using your property next door as a park, and we really enjoy it as a park. And as a matter of fact, maybe you can rally all the neighbors and you can insist that this is a park. But I don't think, I guess what I'm saying is I think that is literally destroys the whole concept of and benefit of zoning. And so that's it. And so I think that might be an educational aspect. We would say, when you buy into an area, you might pop it.
Absolutely, sir. That's the thing. There's a lot of comment we've been getting at during meetings where people have asked that it's not quiet for us to be able to respond. Sometimes people have been saying things that are contradictory to what state or federal law zoning is or what's actually going to happen or not going to happen. And that's why I've been in favor of having an opportunity like this for more discussion to happen. I'd like to see if anyone else has an opportunity.
I've also done that, but in this forum, have you been correcting people on density and aquifer statements? Because a manufactured home park doesn't increase density, And it doesn't endanger the aquifer. And so rather than just let people say things that aren't true, isn't it better to correct them in school?
And that's why I wanted to start having an alter for exactly those reasons. So somebody can say, I hear the first going to be problem with a certain thing is built in a certain place. We'd like to say, well, we have any information on that. Yes, correcting those kinds of things.
Good process.
Sonia, please state the name of members and questions for Councilor Staff.
Sonia, number 650, Cherry Street, North Lane. I'd like to know if the proposed budget for 2024 includes anything for the downtown plane revitalization project.
Can I get the answer from the finance department or whoever seems most knowledgeable? Yes, it does. We have, off the top of my head, we've got several hundred thousand dollars in there for planning and design of the project, with construction not likely until 2020.
Okay, considering our budget stand right now, do you really feel that we can afford this?
Some of the money is dedicated money we can't use for anything else. Is that correct, sir? Can you speak to that? We have grant funds that we've told the state that we will use. Essentially, we've committed to the state to do the project, and we need to fulfill our report. We need to commit to our promise. So that's money we couldn't shift to some other greater need.
And how much more are we planning for the cost?
Currently, we know that's around $300,000. I can anticipate phase three of that to be another $100,000 to $300,000, depending on how that comes in. So somewhere between, I would say, $500,000 to $600,000.
Planning of the project. Does that include the construction, the engineering aspect, or just the visualization of what we want?
That gets us to fully design the plans and specs ready to do.
Excellent. Skip, you wanted to come and ask a question to council? You can name that, Mr.
Skip Johnson, 9423 Turnstone Lane. My question is to the council members, if you have each had a chance to read the October 18th. Memo from Craig Parkinson to your package that deals with this 1100. Okay. And if so, I just want to let you know Craig's here tonight and he's available to answer any questions you may have about that. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I got one question. When I was reading that, did I read it right in that old piece of
When I read that, in the whole East Blaine area out there,
does that mean, I read in there, it said only 5% of the whole East Blaine is all they could put a trailer court on or mobile park? Is that right?
Credit partners and mobile development. Yeah, there's the total East Blaine area is about 1,183 acres, right? So about a third of the city. Of that, less than 10%. Would ever be likely to be developed, ever be likely to have an application to ask it to be developed. That's if those property owners wanted to do so. So, yeah, that's correct.
And then, being you use that language here in front of everyone, I'll say that when we're trying to make rules and restrictions and what's allowed and what's not allowed, we can't always do it just on lightly. We have to presume what could happen. And saying, well, it's not likely that someone put it in the nuclear plant because it's allowed in the zone, but someone might. And so we can't always make our decisions just on what's probably going to happen. We have to think, what could possibly happen?
That's kind of like this open problem with
that. Well, I think that while that may be true, it's in 20 years you have one person come forward and express that.
And you may have seen before, when one thing goes in, then a whole bunch of other things sometimes follow, as the way our illustrious restaurant Rome here, once you get one or two good things in place, then a whole lot of things sometimes follow.
Well, one other thing I'd ask if you've read the Manufactured Home Park Code, because you do have good code.
Yeah.
And it will result in good projects, I believe.
It's great code.
And I would agree with what Mr. Hill just said. I think you're trying to resolve the problem.
Well, there's again, we're trying to be responsive to various public comments, and thank you very much, Mr. Parkinson.
Yeah, and I will be here during the hearing, so if there's more questions, please feel free to ask.
Okay, we've only got a few minutes left here. Is there anyone about Grant? Would you like to ask a question from council where we're actually able to answer? Because that's the time period we're in here in today's meeting.
Yeah, give me a question.
Okay, come up, give your name and address, and then you can ask a question.
Hi, my name is Grant Delawish, 987 Ruby Street, Fleming. My question is that in the previous meeting last week, there was a fair bit of clear statement that staff had presented to council the specifically short list of the enumerated option, three, and you were expected to choose from those three. And so my question is, why are those the only three options? If there is in fact a inconsistency in the code and it needs to be solved, by itself is debatable, but if it needs to be solved, then why is it not also an option? It's just an opinion, but why is it not also an option to go the other direction and simply say, no, they're not allowed that at all, that in that zoning area, in the PR region, it is entirely possible from a common sense point of view to have that be the fourth option. I'm not forcing the issue. I'm just pointing out that staff presented the city or the council with three options, and there are more than that.
Very good. In order to have a functional meeting, the staff has to prepare a little bit of something because at very least starting with some multiple choice. But at any time, if four members of council want to say something that's not written there, a member of council could say, actually, I propose to amend this and go with let's not have any at all. And if four members had voted on that, we could have done something with none of those three options. But staff likes to at least tee up a little bit of something, give us a little bit of something on silver platter so that if one of those things we could take it as it is or amend it. Amend it slightly if it's not quite written the way we want. So we do always have the option to think outside the box. And I just don't believe that we had four members of council who were in agreement enough on an option that wasn't the three that were presented.
Well, that's fine. At least I did my one piece there to make sure that that the thought went into your minds. And I do have other questions. Historically, am I allowed more?
Yes, you can ask one more question.
The entire PR zone, great big 1,100 acre area that we've been talking about here extensively, that was added to the city decades ago without a plan when it was added, which seems crazy to me in hindsight that it was added to the city at all.
There was a vertical plan, but nothing really. It was supposed to be a golf course. It was added so we could put a golf course out there, and then whoever wanted to do that did.
Yeah. Well, it's had a lot of impact, of course. One example that I can think of is some years ago, I believe because of the Growth Management Act, the city was required to reduce its UGA, which is the urban growth area that where city might grow in the future, because the city was deemed already too large, and the EGA was deemed equally too large.
We have filled in the area we've already been given, and the Growth Management Act wants to make sure that people aren't just putting condos in the middle of what should be forest or agricultural land or industrial land, because the land out there is cheaper because it doesn't have a library and a police department and water and sewer and all the amenities you have in city limits.
Yeah. So one of the results of that was the removal of an area of land that sort of separates Blaine into two parts, the east and the west part, and the animal being over there in the west. And that was a choice that must have been necessitated by the requirement by the state to lower the amount of UGA. But ultimately, it's a consequence of the bad planning of bringing the big, huge PR zone in 37 years ago. Because I don't know, I would think it would be much more logical that our infill go in the area to connect our city into a contiguous city rather than having that happen. So I understand those are different things. It's already happened. We can't undo it per se. But I'm pointing out that there was a consequence to that decision that was made all those years ago. And I have one more question.
I have to see if there's anyone else that wants to turn. I think other people here want to turn this time. Where it's kind of a short meeting, so I'll have this stop and over. Thank you.
I'll come back into the public commentary.
Dennis, do you want to ask a question? And by the way, I looked into it this week whether or not we could just give Grant's plan back to the county and then get a contiguous road to the next time we're here, and it's apparently would be a rather uphill way.
Thanks. Almost 860 Jordan Street. A couple of things. One, the information about this having a public forum was not very clear. That you were going to have to sign up to speak, for example, next person nobody even here.
Yeah, it's a little bit casual, and we're probably going to do it again on I'm hoping we'll do it again on a regular basis, and so we can start to
understand
one of those things.
My concern is that in 2019, we had a proposal from Family Care and Medicine to build a clinic here. I really hope to the editors at Horizon, or at the Northern Light. It's almost a month ago now. I haven't heard anything back from anybody. Is there any information upcoming? And I think Dr. Rodney Anderson was the public here, an update. You got a lot of MDs in this town.
Yeah, we can that one. We have a lot of extensions.
I'm not that.
Yeah. Could you give a brief update on that? I know we gave a lot of extensions. The brief update is that Dr. Anderson indicated that the clinic was going through a major software conversion, and that would be finished by the end of July, and at such time they'd reassess their finances and determine if they were able to move forward with the clinic in Blaine, with possibly designing late this fall, construction next year. That's the last I heard from Dr. Anderson. You referred to the July, it was a couple months ago. Okay, so they're passing when they said they'd probably get back to us. So that's close enough that you can do that. We need better or backwards to try and give them the grace to be able to try and put this together.
Well, I request that he make an appointment to come up here and talk to the folks in play.
We'll pass that on.
Well, there's thoughts on it.
Yeah, we'll make sure somebody communicates with him and lets him know that there's been a request to figure out what they're doing.
The MDs I'm talking about is the medically intended. Not the doctors that need medical care. It's really sad folks. I heard that this is going on for 4 years now. If you're not going to do it, just tell us that.
I agree, sir. Thank you very much. Did anyone else have a question that they might like to have a council or staff answer? Because we're going to wind this up and then we'll be ready to be. Jack?
Yeah, just real quickly.
Really brief questions.
We were told that this meeting was this forward would be at 6. When did you start?
This part, which is the Q&A kind of part, is it was written on the website. You can see blame.com. If you go to your government and city hall agenda, it, council agenda, it had this scheduled at 5:30 p.m. That's what it says on the website. I'm sorry if there was a misunderstanding.
That's for checking in the future. Something I could say that would make you guys wait on this or negate it, I would say it, because you know, it's bad for Blaine, bad for the neighbor property owners, bad for the water system, you know.
Okay, and we'll be more opportunity for that. I got a public comment period that not require answers from the
when will that be? At 6?
Well, Wait, is there any further? Yeah, this little 5:30 till now was just for the opportunity for quick questions and quick answers. But at this point, we're going to go into a brief recess. Sam's going to put out the
Why did you put it in the message? Why did we have to go to the website? How would we know we should have gone to a website to find out about the 5:30 meeting?
I'm hoping that there's going to be more of these sessions. I'm optimistic that we'll have more of these Q&A sessions, the town hall break sessions in the future. But this was the first one. It's kind of a pilot thing. It's our first stab at it, and it will hopefully give it more routine, and people will be able to plan around it better.
The only thing I'd like to ask is this a done deal? Are we wasting our time going around door to door and doing research?
Nothing's a done deal because if we change the code, there's no application in for a manufactured home park that you're talking about. There isn't even an application right now. Yeah. What counts out before them is the opportunity to make the code be non-implementation. And then at that point, if an application comes in, then you guys can make all the problem about it about the particular application.
Yeah.
Until somebody breaks around, it ain't the end of that deal. All right, great. So we're going to go into a brief recess. You can sign up for the public comments for the public hearings that we're going to be having at the regular council meeting. We'll be starting in a minute.